We're going to start looking at another word in the Word of God and see how it places and gain meaning of it. I think the more we understand in some of the scriptures we want to look at is some we've already looked at probably. But we'll continue to digging into the Word of God. And so what we're going to begin to look at is just a simple word of believe. So believe, as we look at it, I want you to know how believing and what we believe and faith go hand in hand. They seem like to run parallel with each other. So if you want to open your Bibles up, we're going to begin in John chapter 20. And we'll look at verses 24 through 31. And this is another familiar passage of Scripture for us. This is where Jesus had resurrected. He had shown himself to the disciples, and they went and told Thomas, but Thomas did not believe them. So in verse 24 it says, "Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe.' 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them, although the doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe.' Thomas answered him, 'My Lord, my God.'" Now Jesus did, in verse 30, it says, "Now Jesus did many other signs." So Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." But what I want to bring out as we begin with Thomas, he said, "Unless I see, I will never believe." And you have people that seem like they never want to believe you, and they never want to believe what they hear when it comes to the Word of God. They always have, but what he said, "I will never believe." And I want you to understand that, you know, we have to, when we close, when we say, "I will never believe," we shut our mind down to receive, because we will not hear any other thing that someone has said, even though they may be telling us the truth. And so what I want you to know of it, our believing matters. And as we get on into this, let me just go on. It says, the Greek word, which means to believe, is to entrust or have faith in. See, it is not a casual belief as believing in the existence of something. It is not a casual belief as believing, "Well, I believe it might rain today." Or, "I believe I can be there." You know, sometimes we tell someone that we'll be there on the time. "Yeah, I can. I'll meet you at the restaurant. I'll meet you for lunch." And then we say, "I believe I can be there." And then something comes up and you come, "I don't believe I'm going to be able to make it." You see how we use that word believe in a lot of different ways. But rather, to believe means more than just, we just throw it out there. It is to believe with a full heart, with full confidence. That's what biblical believing is, believing that Jesus is who he said he is and that he will do what he said he will do. You understand what? This is biblical belief. We use the word belief, I'll just show you, in a lot of different ways. We just kind of put it out there. So when we read in the Bible and it reads and we're talking about believe and believing, all these other ways that we use the word, I think, kind of comes in and we don't pay that much attention to it. We don't give it the attention that it needs. But biblical believing is simply this. It is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he said he would do, he will do. And who he said he was and is, we believe that he is. In Luke 4:17 through 21. I always love this scripture, this part of the scripture right here, because if there's anything that describes what Jesus came to do, it is this. It says, and the scroll, this is where he came to on the Sabbath day. It says he went into the temple like his custom, and they handed him a scroll. It says, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. So this to me, I think every church, this should be part of all the churches' plaque on the wall of what our purpose is. If we're going to follow the purpose of Christ and we want to do what he says, we're going to seek and save that which is lost. We want to help the hurting and we want to help all those, but we want to do what he says. We want to pronounce that this is the good news. We want to tell about the good news of Christ. We want to let them know that there is a way out of being oppressed, a way out of being in depression, a way out of being held captive. Where, you know, I'm not talking about in a physical captivity, but I'm talking about being held captive by fear and by bitterness and by hatred and all the other things that it goes against what God's will is for us. He never meant for us to live like that. I tell you always, I believe he came that we could have a victorious life.
Yes.
I think God looked down upon us and had pity on us. He had pity on the way we were walking in darkness. He had pity on us the way we had no hope.
Yes.
He had pity on us because of the way the world is and all that. And he came to save us from all that.
Yes, he did.
But it all goes to believing that Jesus is who he said he is, and believing that he will do what he came to do. And I believe he came. He said, I came. He sent me. He's talking about the Father. He sent me. Not that he anointed me. This is my purpose for being here. If you want to know what his purpose is, this is my purpose for coming. He came to set us free. See, there is a difference in just believing in Jesus, and like I call it, in believing on Jesus.
Yeah.
There's a difference between just believing in him. Believing in Jesus is just merely acknowledging that he exists.
Yeah, right.
See, I know people that they believe that Jesus was that he existed. They believe that he was a good man. They believe that some even believe that he was a prophet. But a lot of times, they don't believe that he was the Son of God. You got to believe more than he just existed. Believing on Jesus is to accept absolutely, having no doubt or uncertainty, trusting in, believing in, putting your faith in, and exercising your faith in that Jesus is the Lord. He is the Son of God. John 3:36 says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, and whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Another translation says, but whoever rejects, that also means refuses to be persuaded. Well, I said off in the beginning that they just will never believe. They just refuse to believe it. And that's what this scripture says. They refuse to be persuaded. So whether you reject him, whether you just refuse to believe him, but also in this whole thing it says, who does not obey. So if you do not obey, then it's saying you do not believe. In James 2:9, it says, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Some say, and tremble in that belief.
Yeah.
See? So there's more than just to believe in Jesus. You got to really believe in him. Believe who he is. That he is the Son of God. That he is the Lord of all. That he is the King of Kings. In John 3:36, belief and obedience are seen as one here. If you believe, you will obey. If you believe he is who you say he is, you will obey.
Yeah.
Jesus put it this way in another place. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say?
Yeah.
Okay? If you disobey, you not believe, much like belief and repentance. Mark 1:14-15. It says, now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So he always said, repent and believe. So you got to obey. If you believe, you will obey. That means you are believing that what the word of God says. You're taking it by faith. You're walking in it by faith, and you're going to act on that. That you believe and you obey and you act on it through faith. Mark 13:58. It says, and he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. This is where he was in Nazareth. You remember where he went in and they all was amazed. We talked about that last week. They all was amazed at his teaching and all the miracles. And they get started saying, well, isn't this Joseph's son? And don't his brothers and his sisters, they all live here? And then after they started talking, then they began to scoff at him. And he said, and Jesus did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Because they did not believe him who he said he was, even though he did the works that should have proved it. He told Philip, in John 14, he said, believe that me, the Father, and I are one. He said, believe me, or even at least believe for the very work's sakes.
Yeah.
You remember that one?
Yeah.
It's all believe. He said, if you can't believe me because I tell you, at least believe because of the works that I do, that I am who I say I am, that me and the Father are one. Believe him if you can't. Believe him how he's done works in your life. He's done works in all of our lives. So he said, that in his work, we should help us to believe that he will keep doing what he said he will do. Matthew 13:58, and he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You see how believing and unbelieving, how powerful that is? You see how the difference in being able to believe in him and not believe in the word of God. You know, once before I told you, the only part of the word of God that won't work for you is the part that you don't believe. Remember we talked about that a few weeks ago? That the only part of the word of God that don't work for you is the part you won't believe. It's because of their unbelief. Because they just refuse to believe on him. It didn't take any of his power away. It didn't take any what his deity away. It didn't take any part of him being the Son of God away. But what it did, it hindered them from receiving.
Wow.
So that is not, you're not believing is not going to hurt him. You're not believing is going to restrict him from being able to help you. So believing it is very powerful. What you believe is powerful, just like what you won't believe is powerful.
Yeah.
You see, they're on the same scale right there. Mm-hmm. Believing can change your life. Not believing can keep you where you're at.
Yeah.
So your faith, let me tell you, your faith will never be stronger than what you can believe. Let me say, your faith will never grow stronger over what you can believe. The word of God that you believe will be what you respond to. Faith is an action. Faith is what we do. So if you don't believe, you're not going to respond to it, so your faith is not going to grow. Look, when you believe, you step out in faith, God works, you believe more, put your trust, believing is trusting Him, fully trusting Him, full confidence that He's going to do what He said He's going to do. You believe that because it's what the Word of God says. You respond to that by faith. And every time God works, every time God moves, because you believe in Him, you're stepping out in faith, you keep getting stronger. Your belief gets higher, your faith goes up. Believing opens the door for faith. Romans 10, 8, 10, and 14, and 17. So Paul writes, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Verse 14. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have not never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what we has heard, who has heard from us? 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. I want you to see the sequence here. You hear, you believe, faith comes. You see what it's saying? Once you hear, because someone shared the word of God to you, someone shared the gospel, you believe them, faith comes by hearing that word of God. Faith always going to come by believing. Faith comes by hearing, but hearing by what you believe. What you believe, faith comes. Believe in the word, faith comes. You believe the word, faith comes. You don't believe the word, faith don't come. That's simple. So 1 John 5:4 says, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now I'm building a faith. I want you to do this. The whole lesson here and the whole message here is building upon Jesus Christ. Paul put it this way. He says, if any man comes laying a different foundation than one we laid other than Christ, let that man be accursed. You see what I'm saying? So if our whole life, if our whole saying what we believe and what we have faith, if it's not placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, then we don't have no faith at all. Huh? We have some wishful thinking. So what our believing, no matter what we're going to believe in, our faith has to be based on Him. It has to be built up on Him. See, the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. See, how we believe, the way we believe, in whom we believe, can set you free or keep you in bondage. Believing the word of God and releasing your faith will set you free. And it releases the power of God in your life. I want to tell you that again. Believing the word of God and stepping out in faith will release the power of God into your life. And He will work with you. He will work through you. He will help you. I want to go to John. I want to read this in him. Back in there, made a mention. What he said. John wrote in 30 and 31. He said, now Jesus did many other signs. This is in John 20. Many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. See, Jesus did a lot more than what is written. But John said, more than what is written, he writ so much, he had written so much, did so many signs that the books of the world could not contain them. He said, but these signs are given to us that we may believe in him, that he is the Son of God. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, let me. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do we believe that? And I think we do. We believe that. We believe it. So he says, don't worry about nothing. Don't worry. But see, we believe that, but also we kind of fall from that a little.
Yeah.
We worry.
Yeah.
See, we get anxious. But he says, don't worry about anything. Don't be, but with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So there's one way you can judge how high your belief level is. When something causes you to start wanting, start to worry, remember this. I need to raise my belief level up.
Yeah.
My belief level is not where it needs to be. I need to get into the Word, because when I read the Word, I believe the Word, and my faith is going to come up.
Amen.
2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of love, and of power, and of a sound mind. So when fear comes, you gotta say, I gotta get my belief level up.
Yeah.
I gotta read, I gotta get back into the Word, I gotta find some scriptures, I gotta find the Word of God to get my belief level up. John said, 1 John, he said, perfect love cast out fear. I think he's in John. That perfect love casts out fear. So I need to, you know what I need to do? I need to find scriptures on how God loves me, how God's going to take care of me, how nothing bad's going to happen to me because he watches over me. I get my belief level up by what I'm reading according to the Word of God, and when my belief level will come up, then my faith level is going to come up with it. And I want to respond to my faith because this is what I believe. You see how it works together? See, sometimes we struggle so much with trying to get faith, and we don't know how to, not going about the right way to get it. Faith is coming up by the Word of God through our believing it. It don't just happen. So we need to change the way we believe. Recognize something when it goes against what the Word of God says. It says, you know, casting down imaginations or arguments and every high thing that goes against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. See, every time something comes against us that we know, because we know the Word of God, we know that is against the Word of God. It goes against what God wants for us. It goes against the will of God for us. then if it's causing us problems, then we need to get back to the Word of God and find the scriptures that pertain to that and believe what we're reading, get our belief level up to get our faith level up to overcome it.
Yeah.
See, he told Jeremiah, you know, I know the thoughts I think toward you. They're good and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. So do you believe that? Do you believe it just for Jeremiah, or do you believe that, you know, God is no respecter of persons? That he wants the same thing for you. Sometimes it's hard for us to imagine that God wants some good things for us. Mm-hmm. Because we got the things going on in our mind that always wants to remind us of what we have done, what we did do. Mm-hmm. But I always love the scripture where Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind.
Yeah.
Let it go. I told you, I had to let it go. Because your past is always going to be, I told you, if you stay there, if you do not put your past behind you, God has. When he forgave all your sins, he wiped the slate clean. He let your past go. Let your past go, or you're always going to have that reminder right there. It's always going to be, your past ends up being your present, which will keep you from going forward to the future. But he said, forgetting those things that are behind, I press on toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. He has a high calling for us. So we're going to look at this and go in a little more. We're going to begin, because I want you to see some things, how God, you ever think how God, what God believes about you? Do you ever think how what God believes about you? If we can change the way we believe that God looks at us, and change the way we believe what God wants for us, then we'll want to spend more time with him. Too often we mess up a little bit, and we do like Adam and Eve when they was in the garden, they hid from him.
Yeah.
Is it because we were afraid?
Yeah.
We were afraid, so we hid from you. See? And that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to think that you're, now God's mad at you. Now he wants to, he's going to punish you as soon as he catches up with you, you know. But he's not that way.
No.
He has grace for us, love for us,
yeah.
Wanting us to come back. Not run away, but draw near. So we're going to look at how some things on believing and what God, change our belief about God and some of the ways you may think, some of the ways you may have been told. We get our believing right.
Yeah.
Let's get our believing right. And I guarantee you'll draw into a closer relationship with God. Because it says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Amen.
So let it set you free from whatever happens, whatever comes your way in a day-to-day life. Amen. Amen.